Are you tired of the endless supply of terrible storytelling? Of uninspiring, nihilistic stories that permeate most of modern-day entertainment? Are you tired of the diversity, equality, and inclusion standards that are forced upon movie creators and actors? Well, so are we. So go with us on a journey as we chronicle for you the latest news in entertainment, as we discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of the film industry, and as we pave a way forward to see the kingdom of Christ grow and the dragon of secularism meet its end. If you want to support us in our mission, head over to patreon.com/thePowell Bros, or follow the link in the show notes. There you will gain access to our exclusive show, The Powell Bros Mini Reviews, as well as early access to both movie chronicles and movie reviews. Now, on with the show. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Movie Chronicles. We are the Powell Bros, and we are here to bring you the latest news in entertainment and give our perspective and view and delve into worldview scenarios and situations and understand what the narrative of our times and yeah, there's a lot going on and we're excited to talk to you about it. So we're here. I'm Trent and I'm here with Tobiah. Tobiah, how you doing? Yep.
Doing good. Mm-hmm. Ready for another episode. Excited to talk about things and yeah.
For sure. What do you got? Got any news? Anything you want to start out? I mean, there's some obvious ones, but yeah.
I don't have much.
Okay.
I mean, we got, I don't know if it's the final trailer, but we got a trailer for Daredevil.
It was the first, like, they released a teaser a month ago.
Okay, so that's the first trailer.
Okay. This is the first trailer, yeah.
Yeah.
I think. I'm pretty sure that's how I understood it.
So, yeah.
Yeah, do you want to dive into that? I mean, what'd you think?
Yeah, it looks decent. I mean, I don't know, I'm hoping it's as good as the original. I don't think it will be. I think it could be close, but I also think they could be giving us the best of the show in the trailer. So there also could be, it could just be complete trash, and they like literally what they showed in the trailer is just the best of it.
Yep, that's for sure.
But hopefully optimistic, I guess, because I want it to be good.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I loved it. I think it felt like the Daredevil show. It didn't feel very MCU-y, if that's a phrase I want to use. It was brutal. It had, you know, all the characters that we know and love, and it looks like it's continuing the story of Daredevil from the TV show, and it's like, okay, I'm here for that. That's what I want. And you got Punisher as well in there. Then you have Foggy and Karen back. Karen, that's her name, right? Yeah, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Karen. And I think, I think it was great. Like it, because you know, go back to whenever they first greenlit the show, and they filmed 6 episodes of the show, and then they're like, okay, we got to scrap this. This is not good. I don't know if you knew this. It was supposed to be like a courtroom drama, basically, and it was a lot more light and felt like an MCU project. And that's probably
She-Hulk.
Yeah, yeah,
that sounds exactly like what She-Hulk
vibe
was.
Of She-Hulk. Yeah. Yeah, they're trying to lighten the mood of Daredevil, and yeah. I think they realize, wow, this is not good, so we're gonna start from scratch. We're gonna bring in Foggy and Karen. We're gonna bring in, I think, some of the old writers, possibly. I wasn't really clear on that. But a lot of the same people that worked on the first show, we're bringing them in. We're gonna do this right. Well, seemingly.
I have high hopes for it, that's for sure. I think if there's a project that Marvel is working on, this is the one that I have the most hopes for. And, well, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Like, because we got next month, we have Captain America, not Captain America, African American, Winter Soldier, Falcon. Or no, not Winter Soldier, sorry. Falcon, Brave New World. Yeah, we have that. Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of which, did you hear the runtime for it?
Yeah, under two hours.
Like one of the shortest MCU films.
Yeah.
That could mean a lot of things, but I think it mostly means that they spent $300-400 million. They did a bunch of reshoots, and now they just scraped from the bottom of the barrel to pick out whatever they could, put it together. I guarantee you most of the plot is in the trailer, where the final battle is probably going to be Red Hulk and Falcon. And
no, I think who knows, I think what's in the trailer is all the Red Hulk we're going to see. What's in the trailer is that's it.
I think so. I think that I think that's
there might be one other shot that we didn't see. Maybe. Not seen, one shot. I'm talking about a shot that we didn't see.
Just a shot. Yeah, probably, honestly. So we got that, and then in March, a month later, we have Daredevil. Of course, week to week, Wednesday nights or Tuesday nights, I think. Tuesday, Wednesday. They're doing the prime time release like they've been doing with all the other shows. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about it on our Thursday episode, drop it on Monday. And, man, I'm excited to walk through it and just unpack the show and see where they go with it.
Yeah.
I'm going to start working through the Daredevil show. I'm not going to get very far, obviously, but I mean, I don't know. I have 2 months, so maybe I can, watch it all. We'll see. But
yeah,
I'm going to kind of on my free time, which I don't have much of, I'm going to watch it, but, so I don't know. We'll see. Trailer wise, like I said, there were some incredible shots in that trailer. Like the one where the mask is falling down, it just like visually looks awesome. Fight scenes look solid. Unlike Daredevil, we got in Echo or She-Hulk. Like it actually looked good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, was Daredevil in Echo?
Yep.
What was the deal with that? Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a flashback scene.
I remember the choreography was just atrocious.
Yeah,
that's the thing, is they have butchered every character. They butchered not every character, but two of the main characters. They butchered Daredevil in She-Hulk and Echo, and they butchered Kingpin in Hawkeye and Echo. They made him like a complete loser who cried in front of Echo. In the show, Echo show, and then in Hawkeye, you had Echo shoot him, and him get beat up by Kate Bishop. Like it was stupid, and it was not the Kingpin that we of course know. And so, are they going to handle him well? I don't know. I hope so. They could very likely not handle him very well. So who knows. He isn't as big as he used to be, which I was a little disappointed. That's probably just the actor. He didn't bulk up as much.
No, he didn't bulk up at all. It's all prosthetics and a bodysuit and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. That could be something to keep track of as far as like Kingpin, he's huge. Like he should be huge. And I actually liked how big he was in Hawkeye. And even Echo, like he was bigger in those shows than he was in the Daredevil show. So I liked that. So he was more physically intimidating and had more of a physical presence. So we'll see what they do with that. Daredevil, the white tiger or moose, I don't know what his name is. The white dude, superhero. That'll be interesting. Looked pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah. White Tiger. Yeah, he looked cool.
Punisher. I don't know. It's like, so there's obviously a lot. I can't remember how the Punisher show ends, but it looks like everyone kind of stopped doing vigilante work or stopped being what they were. So we'll see where they go from there. It's with Marvel, whenever a character starts out that way, or no, with Disney, I should say, whenever characters start off like kind of washed up and miserable, they don't really go very anywhere very well. I don't know. What I'm trying to say is
what
they don't know how to handle characters like that are like, you know, washed up. You got Luke Skywalker, you got Indiana Jones, you got Fat Thor, you got Professor Hulk, you know, all characters that they completely ruined because of the direction they took, where they're just like washed up losers who give up on life, and then they try to give them some kind of redemption, but it's not well earned. And Professor Hulk, I don't know what they're gonna do with him or what they did. It was just, that was dumb.
And we pretend like his son Scar does not exist,
I guess. Yeah,
is that his name, Scar? Yeah, I think so.
I don't even know.
That thing that appeared in She-Hulk, that was disgusting.
Yeah, all of She-Hulk was disgusting.
Yeah.
The fact that they made Daredevil do the walk of shame after sleeping with She-Hulk, that's so stupid. Oh my gosh.
I'm
done. So we'll see. Hopelessly optimistic.
Yep, for sure.
Hopelessly? Hopefully. Did I say hopelessly? Hopefully optimistic.
I saw the... we got the... This is the only other thing I got, so I don't know if you want to
talk throw it about out. Anything. What is it?
The Nintendo Switch 2.
Yeah.
Not the Super Switch, the Nintendo Switch.
The worst kept secret ever.
Yeah, you're watching the trailer and it's just two, and you're like, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All you guys did was like just change the handles a little bit. Like, okay.
Well, I mean, okay, to be fair, they did change a lot. Like, even the Joy-Cons are going to be easier to use. They're going to be magnetized, so it's not this slide. I hate the sliding thing. It's so annoying. It's bigger, which is something I've always complained about. It's just the other one's too small. I'm guessing it's probably going to be 4K. It's just better resolution, better gameplay, new games. It just looks a lot slicker. And I don't know. It isn't much, but it's because... Nintendo finally figured it out. They figured out like what works. Like they made a console, a Nintendo console, and Nintendo's already one of the most best-selling video game systems of all time. The Switch is like one of the best sold games consoles of all time, and so they figured it out. Like, oh, if we just make a second one, people are gonna buy it. It's going to be a big deal. They didn't go the Wii U route. And the Wii U, I don't know if you know this, the Wii U is, I think, one of the worst, they had one of the worst sales on any system for the Wii U. Because they tried to do what they're doing now, but they failed at it and just made, like, a new Wii, but it wasn't, I don't know, it just, I don't think anyone really understood it. Like, what's a Wii U? Like, what does that even mean? And... this one, it's just basic for like normies. So like, you know, mom's going to go to GameStop and say, hey, I want to get the new Nintendo Switch. It's like, that's all they have to say. And it's like, they know. They're not going, can I get the Wii? Like, well, which Wii do you want? Well, I don't know, the new one. It's like, no, this one's pretty straightforward. It's a Switch 2. It's simple. You don't need to complicate it. And I don't know, I'm sorry. I'm excited. I think it looks great. I think this is like, if I wanted Nintendo to do another system, this is what I want them to do. Like, why do anything else? the Switch is perfect. It's a handheld device. You take it wherever you want. You put it in the port. It's on your TV. You play your games, play with your friends, play with your family. It's basic. All the Nintendo games that you could want or ask for are right there. And, yeah. It's, this one's going to be backwards compatible. So all the games you have on the Switch are going to be able to play on the Switch 2. They're going to do a new Mario Kart. Probably a new 3D Mario game, and I don't know, maybe like a remastered Zelda or something. Like, who knows? Like, the we'll find out. But
Not for sure. I don't play video games, so I don't really care.
I have kids, and that's the only time I really play video games. So
I don't know.
I'm excited. It's just funny how it was all leaked. So like the leaks for the actual system and what it looked like were pretty much spot on. Like there was a couple of leakers who had the Switch. Like this it was 3D printed, but it was it was the same thing with like the red and blue and the inside of the the Joy-Cons and all that stuff and just the whole shape and look. And then even the back, the kickstand was the same thing on there. So it's just funny how it was leaked. And I think Nintendo was wanting to wait until till Nintendo Direct in April to announce it, but they pretty much were pushed into a corner and felt like they had to just get it out there. And that's why they're like, April 22nd, you'll find out more about it. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
So they didn't even give us a release date.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Right.
Interesting. Weird.
Yep.
Yeah. What else we got going on?
Well, I know you saw this. Donald Trump is creating a super team of Hollywood advisors to influence Hollywood or something. I don't know. I don't really understand exactly what this all entails, but it's got two of my favorite actors on the team with Mel Gibson, Sylvester Stallone, and then John Voight, who's Angelina Jolie's father. I don't know. I'm guessing he's a conservative. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But three very old Hollywood actors
that aren't really that relevant in Hollywood anymore.
That aren't relevant anymore. Right. True. <Yeah. laughs> but they're gonna go in guns a-blazing and do something, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean we got Rocky and Braveheart. I mean, what else do we need?
Yeah. More like Wrinkly and well, still Braveheart, probably.
I guess.
I guess Trump just wants to know what is going on in Hollywood, wants to know what's going on in Hollywood and wants to fix it. And he wants them to let him know what's going on and let him know what he can do to fix Hollywood. And he wants to bring back the golden age of Hollywood, so I guess that's what we can expect.
I guess so. That'd be interesting. I don't know. It'd just be interesting to see what they do and how or if this changes anything. I mean, Trump outright says like Hollywood's like, in shambles. It's just not what it used to be, and it's become a shell of itself. So I mean, if they can start making some changes, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens. What happens? Mm-hmm. What that means?
I guess this episode will be releasing on Inauguration Day.
Yeah.
So as you're listening.
Yes.
I'm assuming Trump is now president.
Hopefully. 47th. Hopefully nothing crazy happens.
He makes it to then.
Just a few more days.
Yep.
Oh, jeez. Did you see his his, I don't know, his portrait, his presidential portrait.
Yeah, it's his mugshot.
Yeah, it's great.
So great.
He does not look like someone you want to mess with. Like, he looks
intimidating. The dude's been shot and stood up and kept on fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. The golden hair is now a shiny silver. It's great.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Man, there's really not a whole lot to talk about, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to go see Wolfman.
Nice.
After this, actually. So we'll stay tuned for our mini review of everyone.
Yep.
You got to support some Patreon. But
yeah, we just posted our mini review of The Damned, or your mini review of The Damned.
Yeah.
We just got that posted yesterday morning. Damned. Every Wednesday, we post a new mini review, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. I mean, I'm excited. Yeah. Excited for another horror movie. As I said, I have not seen a trailer. I think I saw the teaser trailer like months ago, but I've not seen a trailer, so I'm excited to go in and give it a fair shot, and hopefully it's as good as The Damned. Go 2 for 2. Yeah. Go 2 for 2 in 2025. We'll see.
Nice. That'd be cool.
I guess I got it.
We'll see.
Yeah. I don't know. Because, and then the next week, I'm going to go see Flight Risk. Speaking of Mel Gibson, I'm excited about that one. He said something, because he was on Joe Rogan, and he said something about Flight Risk, and basically saying that it's a very fast paced film, and, his autism got the best of him or something like that. And it's just like, really, like, it doesn't take its time.
Oh,
it's just like, that's funny. It goes really fast. So it all takes place in like a cargo plane or like a passenger plane. I don't know what to call it, but
right.
So
then we got bald Mark Wahlberg. Looks interesting.
Yeah. Bald Mark Wahlberg, Topher Grace, and
when does it come out?
Next Thursday, I think.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Wait, it's either next Thursday or the Thursday after. No, I think it's next Thursday. So a week from today.
Hmm.
Pretty certain. Skeleton Crew concluded. And I don't know if you saw this. James Mangold, who's set to write and direct a, Dawn of the Jedi movie set 25,000 years before Phantom Menace, I believe. So it's like the beginning of the Jedi, the origin of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
He went out and said that he's excited to write this film and direct this film. And the approach he's taking is he is choosing to not tie himself down to any pre-established lore. That he's just going to do his own thing and allow that to be canon or something, dude. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's always gone well. That's a good idea, dude. Go for it.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much what every single Star Wars director has done.
Yeah.
Except for maybe what's his name that did Rogue One and Andor. It's like, obviously that was pre-established lore that you had to stay. Well, but no, it's like, that's the thing. Even with that, with Rogue One is a complete ripoff of, I think Cal Katarn storyline. I think it's Cal Katarn. From the EU. It's just, they just, gender swapped, and did Jyn Erso and told pretty much the same story. That has already been told and established. J.J. Abrams comes in and says, I don't really care about the prequels, so I'm just going to kind of pretend those didn't happen and just make it feel like the original trilogy, but then I'm also going to still do my own thing, my own story, and go my own direction, and set up create all these mystery boxes because he's the king of mystery boxes, and then just let whoever's directing next handle it. And then Rian Johnson comes to Kathleen Kennedy and he's like, "Hey, I got this trilogy idea that I want to pitch to you. Here, what do you think about me doing this?" And she's like, "Oh, that's cool and all, but we have this episode 8 that's coming out. Like, what would you think about actually just helming that? You know, I know you want to do your own thing, not attached to the Skywalker saga, but hey, let me just you can direct this film. How about that?" And so that gives Rian Johnson creative control over The Last Jedi to continue the story of The Force Awakens. And what does he do? He creates his own lore, his own story, does not care about canon, and ruins Luke Skywalker. And also, J.J. Abrams ruined Han Solo first, and then Luke Skywalker, and then J.J. Abrams went back and ruined Leia in the third one. Third one, same thing. It's just, yeah. And then what else we gotten? Leslie Headland with The Acolyte. What'd she do? She completely made up all this crap about space witches and lesbians and the Force making babies, twins that are the most important twins in the whole galaxy. And Yoda finds out that things went not good and didn't say anything. And Ki-Adi Mundi, who's supposed to not be born, is 35 years old and all this crap. She didn't care. This creates her own story. Yeah. Here's Kathleen Kennedy keeps giving these people complete creative control of all these projects. And, well, what do they do? Did I miss anyone? I don't know. Let's talk about Dave Filoni. Dave Filoni's ruining Star Wars as well. Yes. Sorry, all you Dave Filoni fans. He's not the poster child that you thought he was.
Yeah, it's been getting ruined. But yeah, Dave Filoni's been ruining things, and all of Star Wars is being ruined by everybody. And
yes,
there hasn't been good Star Wars content in a long time.
Right. There's been glimpses of it. There's been a few things here and there. A few episodes of Tales of the Jedi, Mandalorian Season 1, some of Mandalorian Season 2, though I'm becoming less and less fond of Mandalorian Season 2 because if you watch it, it's really actually not that well written, and it's just basically like...
Even Mandalorian Season 1 isn't as great as everybody says.
It's not.
It's good, but it's not.
It's not the greatest.
As perfect as everybody says it was.
Sure. Yeah. Exactly.
If you go back in hindsight and watch it and really analyze it, and not just fan freak out over it, like you'd be like, okay, yeah, this is some of this dialogue is kind of cheesy. Some of these scenes don't really make any sense.
Granted, like I just finished watching the original trilogy again. Watched it with my boys. Incredible experience. Even just being able to watch the original trilogy again is just amazing. I love those films. But even then, like as I've become more critical of films, because of what we've been doing in this podcast and our movie reviews, like I'm so cynical towards movies sometimes. like A New Hope had problems. I think Empire Strikes Back didn't have very many problems. Like after watching, I was like, yep, there's a reason why this is not only the best Star Wars movie, but it's one of my favorite movies. It has just very little problems. It's an incredible story. It's compelling. I think it does a great job at telling Luke's struggle and showing his failure, and how he kind of he works through overcoming that. And Darth Vader, as he's learning things about his son and then how he's, you know, trying to confront them and he's contriving this whole plan to take out the rebels and to get Han Solo, all this. Just great story, fun. It's incredible Star Wars film, of course. Return of the Jedi has a lot of problems. Like, it is objectively the worst of the three. It has a lot of, like, especially the first act is just kind of a mess when as it pertains to like all the, like, the plan that they contrive to get Han Solo rescued really doesn't make any sense, and it's all just like things happen to work out for them over and over again when they really probably shouldn't have worked out that way. And then you have, yes, you have the Ewoks. However, the third act is like the final fight with Vader and Luke, I think, is one of the greatest sequences, scenes in cinema history. I will 100% agree with that. Luke's draw to the dark side, hit in his father's, the conflict that his father is going through. Luke's turn in anger against his father, but then his repentance when he throws the lightsaber down and chooses not to go the path that his father went, and just how that all culminated, and then the Emperor trying to kill Luke and Darth Vader, his redemption, he kills the Emperor, sacrifices himself, so forth. That whole sequence, the throne room sequence, I think is probably the best scene and sequence in Star Wars, and one of the best in movie history. I will say that. The rest of the movie, not super great. It's good, and it's like one of the better Star Wars movies. I think it's still better than the first two prequel movies. Not the third one. Third one is pretty incredible. But anyways, there's that. I didn't plan on talking about Star Wars, but I always will if I get an opportunity. Yeah. Actually, did you hear what the rumored plot for The Mandalorian and Grogu, one of the stupidest titles for a movie?
I did, but I don't remember what it was.
Okay, so it's basically a Clone Wars episode. Like, the story that they're rumored to go with is basically a Clone Wars episode. So there's this bounty hunter. His name's starts with an R, I think. I can't even remember his name. But he's a well-known bounty hunter in Clone Wars and Star Wars. He's going to be the antagonist, supposedly. And they're going to Mando is going to be hired by the Hutts to go and rescue Jabba the Hutt's son.
Yes, that's or right. Yeah,
one of the Hutt babies in Clone Wars, which basically that happened already in a Clone Wars episode, and they're basically just redoing that and saying, yeah, well, let's have Mando go on this mission to rescue this Hutt baby for the Hutts.
That's their big plan for the big Mandalorian and Grogu movie. Is apparently literally just a rehashing of one of the most annoying episodes of the Clone Wars with the annoying little baby.
Baby
Hutt. And
yeah.
I don't that know. Could,
I mean, obviously it's just a rumor, but it's sounds pretty boring.
They are so dumb. It's crazy.
And that's the thing. It's like, so it's going to be all about, you know, like, Grogu's obviously going to sympathize with this Hutt baby because they're both children, sort of. Well, I think the Hutt baby would be grown up a little more, so like a teenager maybe, and Grogu is basically a teenager now. Or I don't know. It's so confused. The Grogu fad lasted for like a week, a month, maybe 2 months. He's just annoying. I'm sorry. I can't stand it anymore. And now that obviously he wasn't supposed to be this important, but he sold toys, and so they made him super important. And now the whole reason that he went back to be with Mando at the end of Boba Fett or whenever that was because they needed him to be back in the show so that they can make more money and sell more toys or get people to watch, because, you know, who doesn't want to watch a baby Yoda? But it's just, and the whole, he's 50 years old and it doesn't work with Yoda unless he like has a huge growth spurt, because Yoda was 100 years old when he started training Jedi. When he started training Jedi, meaning he was a Jedi master at 100 years old. And you're telling me Grogu, who's 50 in 50 years, and after another half of his life, he's going to be a Jedi master? I don't believe it. And
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just, whatever. It's, I just hate Disney, Star Wars, and it.
Yeah.
Just stop it. Stop. They need to. There's a couple things they need to do. They either need to sell Star Wars, sell the IP, or they need to just have a drought. No Star Wars projects for the next 5 to 10 years. Just stop. Do nothing. No comics, no books, no TV shows, nothing. And then start from scratch. And stick with the lore, stick with the source material. Remember, but this is Kathleen Kennedy, who said,
"Never happen."
No, it won't. And this is Kathleen Kennedy, who said that they, when they're making these shows and these movies, they don't have source material to work from.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure.
Yeah, except for dozens upon dozens of books and comics that were signed off by George Lucas that tell an expanded story beyond the Skywalker saga.
Yep.
Stories that people loved and grew up with and enjoyed and still enjoy. So, whatever.
Yeah. All right, that was probably enough of you going on about Star Wars.
I guess. I can keep going.
No, I think we're good. Did you have anything else before we close out?
No, I got nothing.
Okay. All right. Well,
I mean,
you guys for
I guess, I mean, if you want to do a fun little thing at the end, what's your, I'm sure we've done this before, but what, what's your top three? What's your top six Star Wars films? Right, like the original and prequel trilogy, George Lucas six films. What's your ranking?
Yeah. Okay. Three is probably my favorite. Probably go three. Four, five. 1, 6, 2.
Okay. All right, that's fair. I can't complain when people put The New Hope ahead of Empire. Like, I get it. It is the original Star Wars. It is what started it, and it's a perfect film, nearly perfect. I mean, as far as like the hero's journey, Luke, you know, just stepping out into a whole new world and so forth. So my six are 5, 4, 3, 6, 1, 2. Five and then four and three, like those three always kind of they're like on the same level for me. And I really like four is, like I said, incredible. Five is definitely better. That's why it's number one for me. Three is still really good as well. So it's like those fluctuate. And then the bottom three is always going to be 6, 1, 2. And that's how it is. So anyways, that's all we got. Finishing off with some good Star Wars discussions. Always fun to do that. But thank you guys for listening. You know, not a crazy amount of stuff going on, but I hope you enjoyed this discussion, and hope you look forward to hearing us again next week. So stay tuned. Join us on Patreon, patreon.com/ Paddle Bros, where we get all our mini reviews, a whole catalog of them. And yeah, remember to glorify God and watch good movies. And we're out.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye.